Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy Monday, Mid-Michigan. It is February 12th, 2018. And the weekend is now in the books. It's time to get back to work, right? Really hope you guys had a great weekend. I know you Spartan fans did. What a weekend it was for you, right? Especially those who were in the house at the Breslin Center on Saturday afternoon, a 4 p.m. tip time between two top five men's college basketball teams in Michigan State and Purdue. It was a thrilling game. Culminated with a game-winning shot on behalf of course, sophomore phenom for the Spartans, Mr. Miles Bridges. I mean, the roof absolutely came off the place on Saturday evening. It was amazing. An amazing atmosphere at the Breslin, an amazing game, and a game that also keeps Michigan State in the Big Ten championship race. It keeps Michigan State in a possible bid for a number one seed. This really keeps Michigan State in contention for some lofty goals as we come down the home stretch of the regular season here. What a game it was. So I was in the house to cover it. We will have coverage from that game and extended dialogue on what that win now means for your Michigan State men's basketball team moving forward. I'll put it in perspective in just a moment. You'll hear from head coach Tom Izzo. You'll hear from Miles Bridges, Gavin Schilling, Cassius Winston. You don't want to miss that. Now, of course, I want to get your thoughts on it. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also join us and comment below our live stream, which you can view right now, hello beautiful people, at facebook.com/currentsports. And if you leave a comment below the video, I will do my best to get to your comments live here throughout the hour. So we will have plenty of Michigan State men's basketball chatter centered on that Purdue win. What a game it was. We will also briefly talk about the Michigan State women's basketball team, which snapped a losing streak yesterday afternoon, doing so, and this had to feel a bit sweeter, right? You not only do you snap the losing streak, but you do it against your in-state rival, University of Michigan. So we'll talk about that. Great game at the Breslin yesterday for Susie Merchant's troops. And as we proceed throughout the hour, we will talk a little Detroit Pistons basketball. I do want to comment on the Pistons as it pertains to how they've performed since the Blake Griffin trade. You know, they went like five straight, and then the only loss, well, the first loss, I should say, that they had after the Griffin trade happened to be against Griffin's former team in the LA Clippers. A lot of storylines happening in the NBA as well, as everybody seems to be losing their mind when it comes to the new look Cleveland Cavaliers after just one game. One game. Are you kidding me, folks? Can we pump the brakes? They played one game. Now, granted, yeah, it was against the Boston Celtics, a blowout win over the Boston Celtics, which have owned the NBA's Eastern Conference one seed for most of the year. They now relinquish that to the Toronto Raptors. And yeah, it was a pretty nice win. LeBron James's new look team did look good yesterday afternoon, but I think we're overreacting a bit here. You know, the odds in Vegas when it comes to the Cavaliers winning the NBA championship coming into yesterday's game against Boston, the odds were 12-1 according to Vegas. After the blowout win over Boston, those odds shifted to 8-1. Are you kidding me? Are we really falling for the okie doke here? I'll address that as well. And we'll also finally get to this piece with our very own Kevin Lavery as he has a conversation with Frank Fitzpatrick, sports reporter and staff writer for the Philadelphia Inquirer. As Kevin picks the brain of Fitzpatrick as it pertains to any similarities between what we're seeing right now happen with Michigan State athletics and what happened at Penn State with the Jerry Sandusky scandal. So our plate runneth over on this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you would like to let your voice be heard. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, when we start with the latest news coming out of the camp of Michigan State Hoops, that being the Michigan State women's basketball team, the MSU Women's Hoop Squad celebrated its annual Pink Game for Breast Cancer Awareness and Girl Scout Day by packing the Breslin yesterday. The Spartans had lost six straight, playing without one of their best players in a key reserve. Senior Lexi Gussert led a very balanced Spartan attack with 14 points. Michigan was led by, of course, Caitlin Flaherty, who scored 20 points and added 8 boards. The Spartans' Taryn McCutcheon had 8 points, 5 assists, 3 steals, while chasing Flaherty around the court. MSU shot 53% in the first half, led by 11 points from Gussert. The Spartans were also 5-for-10 from beyond the arc. So, at the end of the day, Michigan State ends up pulling this game out. They snap a 6-game losing streak. The Spartans now sit at 15-11, 5-8 in the Big Ten Conference. And Michigan State will now continue its 4-game homestand this Wednesday, Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day matchup against Nebraska at 7 p.m. V-Day right around the corner. Really hope you fellas, are definitely getting your affairs in order, getting your plans in order, I should say. Not affairs in order. It sounds like death, doesn't it, Ian? Getting your plans in order for that special one in your life. I tell you what, funny thing, Ian, a lot of men look at this day like death, though, because they think it's an overrated. Do you think Valentine's Day is overrated, Ian?
No, I definitely don't think it's overrated. And if there are any women listening, I would love to accompany you to a nice restaurant tonight or maybe a movie of your choice.
That was a great plug. Ian Hawley, current sports engineer, the love doctor here, as we are just 2 days away from Valentine's Day. So you don't think it's overrated. I think it's completely overrated. And he's dancing behind the glass. Ian, you may have just earned yourself a date out there.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Any callers that want to date Ian Hawley, 517-355-WKAR. All right, moving along. The MSU men's basketball team, of course, as I just highlighted at the top of the hour, squeaked past Purdue in a Big Ten matchup between two top five teams. Number 4 MSU outdueled Purdue for a 68-65 dub at the Breslin Center in East Lansing, Michigan on Saturday. The Spartans' alpha dog, Miles Bridges, made big plays in key situations to finish with a team-best 20 points. Michigan State point guard also, Cassius Winston, he was great on Saturday as well. He had 10 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. Big man Isaac Haas, the 7'2" phenom, He paced Purdue with 25 points. But again, it was Miles Bridges who hit the game-winning go-ahead three-pointer, leaving 2.7 seconds left on the clock. We will have extended coverage and dialogue on that win in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. With the win, the Spartans are now tied with Purdue in the Big Ten standings, second place, trailing first place Ohio State. The Michigan State hockey team fell to number 19 Michigan 3-2 on Saturday in front of a sellout crowd of just over 19K at Little Caesars Arena in the annual duel in the D. Twice the Spartans were down by a pair of goals in the third period and came back to pull within one, but were never able to get the equalizer. Tyrell Hirose and David Kiefer scored for the Spartans, while Patrick Kotarenko had two assists. Michigan State ended up tying in regulation Michigan on Friday night at Monice Arena. That one went to a shootout in which Michigan State would fall. Michigan State Gymnastics just missed tallying its third straight score of 195.000 or better, finishing with a 194.950 in a duel at number 7 Michigan on Saturday afternoon at the Chrysler Center. The host Wolverines posted a 197.250, winning at least a share of all four individual event titles and the all-around top honor. Spartan senior Haley Wesney claimed a share of the uneven bars title, tying her season high with a 9.875 for the third time this season. The Spartans returned to the friendly confines of Denison Fieldhouse for their final home regular season meet, hosting Illinois come this Saturday at 6 p.m. It will be senior night for MSU. Despite a career best 11 Ks from senior Bridget Rainey, Michigan State softball dropped a 3-0 decision to host Florida Atlantic on Friday night in Boca Raton, Florida. The Spartans, 0-2, had two strong pitching outings on the day. Both Rainey and Game 1 pitcher Christina Zalewski pitched complete games with just one earned run allowed between the two games. Zalewski didn't allow a walk and struck out one in a loss to Duke to start the day, and Rainey was equally up to the task in the nightcap. She scattered 7 hits and did not allow an earned run despite walking 6 and 3 times working out of a bases-loaded jam. So that's how Michigan State softball closed out the final game of the FAU Kickoff Classic. Michigan State takes on Bethune-Cookman in Northern Illinois come Saturday, with the first game for the Spartans scheduled to begin at 1:30 p.m. The Detroit Pistons fell to the Atlanta Hawks 118-115 yesterday afternoon. It's the Pistons' second loss in a row after a 5-game win streak, and the addition of power forward Blake Griffin appeared to energize the franchise. The Pistons, sitting at 27-28, are 2 games out of a playoff spot with 27 games remaining. And, of course, this upcoming weekend is NBA All-Star Weekend, marking the midway point of the NBA year. And the Pistons will play the New Orleans Pelicans tonight at Little Caesars Arena. For the second straight game, the Detroit Red Wings blew a 3-goal lead. Luke Glendening, Anthony Mantha, and Thomas Tatar scored 3 minutes apart during the second period on Sunday at Capital One Arena, but the Caps rallied to push the game past regulation. The Wings dominated the second period, landing 17 shots on net to the Capitals' 2 to set up a 3-goal lead going into the third. A repeat of Friday's meltdown when the Wings blew a 3-goal third period lead at the Islanders took shape when Brett Connolly, he swept the puck short side on Jimmy Howard at 2:32, and Dmitry Orlov scored at 14:02. Danny DeKeyser took a holding penalty with 1:15 left to play in regulation, and the Caps pulled Brandon Holtby to have 2 extra skaters. It paid off when Nicholas Backstrom, he fired a rising shot from the right circle to make it 4-4 with 16.7 seconds left in regulation. And Tatar finished a 2-on-1 with Dylan Larkin and OT to secure the 5-4 win. And the Winter Olympics, while the United States had just one gold medal and one silver medal going into Sunday, They did some work to catch up in the medal counts. The figure skating team event ended with the U.S. in third, adding a bronze medal to its total. The Americans finished behind the Olympic athletes of Russia and Canada, who took silver and gold, respectively. Then in the women's slopestyle snowboarding event, the Americans dominated per usual. Specifically, Jamie Anderson defended her Sochi gold medal in the event by taking the gold on Sunday evening. Lurie Bluin of Canada and Inai Rochajarski of Finland finished second and third, respectively, on the podium. Norway, always considered a force in the Winter Olympics, leads the total medal count with 8. That includes 1 gold, 4 silver, and 3 bronze medals. The Netherlands are in second with 5 total medals, including 2 gold. Germany has the most gold medals with 3 and also a bronze. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's get right to it.
In the huddle today, he said, "Get me the ball." I said, "Yes, sir." But that's not his style, you know. I said, "Miles, we're going to you." Now I said, "You either got to get fouled or get a wide open shot."
My mentality was just win the game for us. Anything I could do is just either go to the basket, shoot the three, shoot a mid-range, just win the game for us.
But I'd like you to take it to the hole and get fouled. So it just still proves he's kind of disrespectful. And he kind of said, "The hell with you, and I'll do what I want to do."
Bridges has it. 5 seconds to go. Bridges for 3. Yes!
The big star delivers. The big star delivers.
Coach would have been mad. But chances make champions. That's what I always say.
I think he called game in the huddle right before that. So I was like, okay, you know, the ball was in the right player's hands, and we relied on him to take that shot and make it. And that's what he did. So. You know, props to him, man.
Well, you're saying he called it in the huddle before he let it fly.
Yeah, he said, he called it. And, you know, a lot of players probably wouldn't do that, but he did, you know. And, yeah, he had confidence in himself. We had confidence in him.
Gavin just said that Miles actually called that shot in the huddle.
Called the shot?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he definitely said, I mean, we all knew he was going to shoot it. Yeah, he definitely said he was, I don't know, in my head, I didn't think he was going to the basket, you know what I'm saying? Just, we know Miles, so. He got his space. He got his opportunity. He knocked down the big shot.
I just sat there and looked up, and Judd didn't say nothing to me. So next time I'm going to look down. I'm going to find him somewhere, either up or down. But Judd, last parting shot, it's up there in the video, was, "How do you want to be known?" And he said, "I want to be known as a guy that did it the right way, a guy that cared about his players." And I was thinking to myself, how well said. And probably a lot of us could learn from that.
Happy Monday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. Again, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports right here live on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. I am your host, Al Martin. It's a great day in Michigan. I know it was a bit of a snowy one over the weekend. Boy, oh boy, we got hit pretty hard starting, last week Friday? but the sun is out. And that's the thing, you know, with me, I'm not a big fan of the snow. You guys know I only love snow around the holidays. And then it's like, all right, let's get back to spring and summer weather, right? But I can deal with it, I guess, if it's sunny outside, because the sunshine just puts you in a better mood, right? So, happy Monday, Mid-Michigan. Got a lot to get to. And before I dive into what you just heard, and during this intro, you just heard the voices of Michigan State head men's basketball coach Tom Izzo, sophomore forward Miles Bridges, senior forward Gavin Schilling, as well as sophomore guard Cassius Winston, all commenting on what took place on Saturday afternoon. Michigan State topping number four, Michigan State topping number three, Purdue. And you would think, I really thought that Michigan State was going to be ranked numero uno in the latest Associated Press top 25 rankings. Well, they have just been released. And not so fast. Michigan State sits at number two. Number two in the nation. Virginia is your number one, your new number one. Virginia climbing to numero uno in the AP top 25 for the first time in more than, get this, 35 years. The Cavaliers earned 30 of 65 first place votes in today's latest poll to outdistance Michigan State. Virginia had suffered an overtime loss Saturday to Virginia Tech. It was really a crazy upset-filled week. But we saw the Cavaliers, you know, climb to numero uno despite that loss. So I'm a bit puzzled, I must say, but whatever. The Spartans climbed two spots after that win over Purdue. And last week's number one, Villanova, fell to third after a home loss to St. John's. Xavier and Cincinnati round out your top five. So I know I see Jason on line one. I know he wants to comment on the latest rankings. I'm going to get to you in just a moment, Jason. But I do, just briefly, let's just travel back to Saturday afternoon. What a moment. What a game. One of the most fun games I've ever covered as a reporter. The atmosphere in the Breslin was electric. And you talk about the drama. I mean, you got two top five teams going at it. And by the way, coming into Saturday, number three and number four going at it, Michigan State and Purdue. That game marked the fourth time this season we had seen two Associated Press top five ranked teams go at it on the hardwood. And guess what? With that game against Purdue, Michigan State has now played in three of those four Associated Press top five games. Just really speaks to the tough schedule that the Spartans have endured this year and have been pretty triumphant. With the win over Purdue, Michigan State now ties the best start in program history. Very impressive. Very, very impressive stuff. So how did it happen? Well, sophomore Miles Bridges hit a three-pointer with 2.7 seconds left, and number four Michigan State held on to win 68-65 over Purdue in a Big Ten Conference men's basketball game at the Breslin Center on Saturday afternoon that had fans from both fan bases just almost having a heart attack, right? Michigan State has now won eight straight games, improves to 24-3 overall, 12-2 in the Big Ten Conference. Purdue falls to 23-4, 12-2 in league play. So now you have Purdue and Michigan State, as I mentioned, tied for second in the Big Ten championship race. And now it keeps Michigan State in the race as well for a possible number one seed come NCAA tourney time. Now, did this win change my perception about this team? Well, if I'm speaking to the fact that I, and I've reiterated this multiple times, I can't read this Michigan State men's basketball team right now. And what do I mean when I say that? I could very well see this Michigan State men's basketball team rolling to a Final Four berth or losing in the first weekend. Because there have been just a lot of inconsistencies when it comes to many different areas of play. And again, I go back to this statement. This team will go not as far as Miles Bridges will take it, even though he is the guy on this team. This team will go as far as Mr. Cassius Winston will take it. Because if you look at every game this year, when Cassius Winston plays well, Michigan State plays well, and Michigan State wins basketball games. So, if you cut off the head, and I go back to the statement that Tom Izzo, head coach, the statement that Tom had earlier this season when he said, if you cut off the head, the body will fall. Cassius Winston is the guy he's talking about. Cassius Winston is the head of this monster. If you take his game away, boy, oh boy, it's an uphill climb. So I can't read Michigan State right now. And it's all about matchups come tourney time. That's what makes the tourney fun. You just never know. You just never know. Does Michigan State have the talent to make a deep run and go to a Final Four and possibly win a national championship? Yes, we all know that. We all know that. But, you know, if Michigan State would have lost to Purdue, which very well could have happened if it wasn't for those late-game heroics by multiple players, not just Miles Bridges here, we could be singing a different tune. Now, however, with that being said, I would be very dismissive to say that I did not alter my perception of this squad from a mentally tough, finding ways to win standpoint. You know, we talked about it when previewing this matchup last week. The wins for Michigan State aren't always pretty. And again, they leave many of you Spartan fans needing to see a medic after each and every game. But when thy name is MSU basketball. I want to play a bite real briefly here. Because, you know, you could not have scripted a better ending on Saturday. It's like a movie almost. During the timeout, just before the shot, Tom Izzo turned to Miles Bridges and said, "We are going to you." That's what Tom Izzo had to say. However, the instruction was to not just jack up a three. This is what the instruction was.
We ran a thing to clear a side, and we put the ball in his hands. He was supposed to drive it and get fouled. But if you're from Flint, say, to hell with that, I'll just jack a three. And it worked out, you know. So I was but it couldn't happen to a better kid who's worked his tail off. And, you know, he came back for these kind of games.
Yeah, he did. Miles came back for those big moments. But, again, the original game plan was to get the ball to Miles Bridges and Miles drive the ball, get fouled, or make the layup. But if you get fouled, go to the line and hit some free throws to put the team ahead. That was the instruction, not to hoist up a three. But this is what big-time players do in big-time moments. Miles decided to change the game plan, do it his way, the Flint way, as Tom Izzo called it. And he pulled up. Nailed a three-pointer right in the eye hole of senior guard Dakota Mathias. This is why Miles Bridges came back to Michigan State. To compete for championships. To rise in big moments. To will his team to wins. Again, why did he come back? Just like I stated, bite number two, Ian.
He came back to try to help us, you know, win a championship of some kind. And, you know, we got a lot of games left and there's a lot of things to go on yet. But Miles, he got what he deserved today because he made the big plays, and the place was electric for him. For all our guys, I thought the place was great, but I'm happy for Miles.
Miles Bridges finished with 20 points on 9 of 14 shooting. And I don't know if you're like me, but I agree with Tom. When I saw Miles put up that shot, my initial thought was, oh, man, that's not a good look. Dakota's right there in your grill. However, I must say this as well. I thought Dakota Mathias, I think he knew that Miles was going to try to drive there. He did a good job of staying in front of Miles. And Miles said, you know what? I'm just going to pull up. And that was a deep three. That was a deep three. That was a few feet away from that three-point line. But again, big-time players step up in big-time moments. Miles Bridges, 20 points, won 9 of 14 shooting. He had a slow start to this game. But boy, oh boy, did he come on, didn't he? So this win keeps the Spartans' hopes alive for a possible number one seed in the NCAA tournament. It keeps them in the race for a Big Ten championship. And again, I want to highlight other heroes as well in this game. Cassius Winston, again, he had an all-around complete game. This team will go as far as Cassius Winston will take them. If he plays well, the team wins. 10 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. That is a complete game. That is what Tom Izzo is looking for in his point guard. Balance. 10 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds. Yes, Cassius Winston had 7 rebounds. How about Matt McQuaid? Hitting timely three-pointers that shifted the momentum in favor of the Spartans during key stretches of the game. Matt McQuaid, 3 for 6 from the floor, 3 of 5 from deep. 9 points. That's what you want from a great role player like Matt McQuaid, the best shooter on the team in Matt McQuaid. However, I think Miles Bridges may have something to do with that. Say about that now, because Miles Bridges, I must say, Miles has really improved that jump shot, hasn't he? Gavin Schilling, I want to highlight as well. Because Gavin Schilling came into this game and did the dirty work. He was the garbage man in light of Jaren Jackson Jr., the freshie, yet again getting into foul trouble. Jaren Jackson Jr. probably had the worst game of his young Spartan career. He's still an uber talent, but he didn't have a great game. 1 for 6 from the floor, 0 for 3 from beyond the arc, and he had 1 3-pointer late in the second half that didn't even come close to hitting the rim. Just air melded, completely air melded. He finished with just 2 points. Again, got into foul trouble. He was one foul away from fouling out of that game. So, I mean, he was the primary guy to guard the 7'2" monster, the beast, in Isaac Haas. He goes out, and Gavin Schilling comes in, uses that muscular frame to square up and go at it with Isaac Haas. Now, did Isaac Haas make some plays? I mean, Isaac Haas was fantastic, without a doubt. 12 of 22. 25 points, 5 boards, 1 assist. Isaac Haas was great. He was the player for Purdue on Saturday. But when Michigan State needed to keep him in check, it was Gavin Schilling who stepped up and said, uh-uh, not on my watch. Great effort. Great effort from Gavin Schilling. Fantastic game for him. And then there's Kenny Goins, who nailed a game-tying jumper in the final minute. No one saw that coming. Purdue gave him that shot because Kenny Goins does not take that shot. Nailed it. It kept Michigan State in the game. It tied the game. And you talk about a huge momentum boost. Just fantastic. Michigan State, the one thing I'm encouraged in is that they are finding ways to win. Regardless of how they're doing it, you know, how they're struggling. And again, that's what makes me worried with this team, because those struggles, those turnovers, which they did a really good job of taking care of the basketball, really good job. Just 6 turnovers for Michigan State against Purdue on Saturday. But we've seen turnover woes become a constant bugaboo for this team. But when they take care of the basketball and when Cassius Winston is playing his game and you got role players chipping in, and just imagine if Jaren Jackson Jr. did not get into foul trouble, if he's able to stay out there on the hardwood, just imagine what could have happened in this game. We may be talking about a 10-point win for Michigan State. Who knows? But this team has all the talent in the world. It's just about doing the little things. But nonetheless, they're winning. So how confident are you in your Spartans right now? Again, with the win, they match the best start. The best start in school history for this program. Pretty impressive stuff. 24-3 overall record. That matches the 24-3 start by the 2000 and 2001 team for the best start to a season in the Tom Izzo era. So I should modify that. The Tom Izzo era. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR. I want to hit our first break. I see we have two callers on. Jason, I see you. Ray, I see you. Let's hit our first break. Come back. Take your calls. And also, I want to note, you know, if that game wasn't emotional enough, how about the fact that it was also Judd Heathcote night? You'll hear Tom Izzo's thoughts on winning this one for his mentor. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have been highlighting the Michigan State men's basketball win over Purdue on Saturday afternoon at the Breslin Center. What a game it was. Miles Bridges hitting the game-winning three-pointer with 2.7 seconds left in regulation to propel the Spartans to the dub. And now Michigan State is tied with Purdue in second place in the Big Ten Conference as it pertains to that Big Ten Championship race. Ohio State sits at numero uno in the Big Ten Conference. When it comes to the rest of the schedule for Ohio State will next play Penn State on the road this Thursday. Then we'll travel to Ann Arbor on the 18th to take on the Michigan Wolverines. And then Ohio State will then host Rutgers at home on the 20th. And then they'll wrap up the regular season on the road at Indiana. When it comes to Purdue, Purdue will next play Wisconsin on the road come this Thursday. They will host Penn State on the 18th, hit the road to take on Illinois on the 22nd, and then we'll wrap up the year at home against Minnesota on the 25th. And for your Spartans, the next two are on the road beginning tomorrow at Minnesota, and then Saturday at Northwestern, and then Michigan State returns home for Senior Day against Illinois the 20th. That's when that game will take place, and then they will wrap up the year on the road against Wisconsin on the 25th. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got our dear friend Jason on line one. Jason, what's up, dude?
Hey, not much, brother. What's going on?
Another day, another dollar. What's on your mind?
Okay, well, you know, the one team that I talked to you about earlier in the year that, you know, when we get to the tournament time, that would scare me. Unfortunately, they, for some reason, even though they lost the other day, they're sitting at number one. Mm-hmm. You know what Coach Bennett's done down there at Virginia over the last few years is kind of crazy. And Virginia, when we've been in the tournament and we've had to face them, they have been a cancer to our team. So
right.
We'll see if we have to face them. Hopefully we don't have to see anybody like that until the Final Four. But
they're a really good team, aren't they? They're fun to watch, too, Jason. I mean,
They
are number one for the first time in the AP Top 25 in more than 35 years. The last time was, what, 1982?
82, yep.
Wow, a long time coming. But, yeah, Virginia is playing some really good basketball.
Right. And so, you know, sitting here going back to my prediction that I gave you at the beginning of the year, okay, I definitely will chalk us up a win at Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure we can handle Northwestern, Illinois, and Wisconsin. So I think we can finish out at 28-3, go into the Big Ten tournament as a 2 seed, get a bye. We should be able to come out of the Big Ten tournament a 30-win team easily. Okay.
Now, I want to pose this question as well.
Okay.
Because it's something that's been on my mind as it pertains to this team. And, Izzo has talked a lot about throughout this year the schedule that this team has played. Mm-hmm. And he has complained at times in regards to the schedule that this team has not had a lot of opportunity to practice, a lot of opportunity to rest. I tell you what, Jason, I would not be opposed to, well, I should say, it would not bother me if Michigan State went out early in New York at Madison Square Garden in the Big Ten tournament, went out early just to rest up for the NCAA tournament, because I do think this team needs some rest. The schedule has been so hectic. I wouldn't be mad if Michigan State lost early. I would say, hey, this is more opportunity for them to rest and come
true.
In with fresh
this
legs come tournament
time. You have to realize that it's not just our team that has had this ragged schedule all year. Everybody in the Big Ten, because we're playing out at Madison Square Garden, and we have to tip hats and everybody to those, you know, wannabe patriots and everything else out there in New York. You know, we got to tip our hats to all of them so they can play their Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden. Mm. You know, it is what it is. We're definitely going to get our rest before we go into the NCAA tournament. I don't have a problem with that. But I really think Michigan State could, I think go through. They could win the Big Ten tourney and definitely make that deep run to the Final Four. And I wouldn't be surprised if you possibly see if it comes out in the bracket the right way, possibly see Michigan State, Virginia in the final.
Wow, bold statement. All right, Nostradamus, my man Jason.
All right, brother, have a great one. Be easy.
You got it always, my man. Line two, Ray from Indiana. Ray, how are you?
Hey, pretty sweet victory there for you guys Saturday.
Big game. Did you check it out?
I seen the end of it. That Hoss was a horse. He was making those hook shots and off the banker, but that he did it the only way you could have stopped the threes out there for him.
7'2". He's a load. He reminds me a lot of Ivan Drago from Rocky IV.
Yeah, I think he might be a force in the NBA the way he's playing.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he's an NBA stud, without a doubt. I think he's got great fundamentals. I love that right-handed hook that he's got. He's poised in the paint. He's a solid player.
Yeah, he's learned a nice little hook shot. When's the tournament start?
The NCAA tournament? That's mid-March. Mid-March. I believe it's like something like March 15th, something like that.
The NBA. Let's say you're a 2 seed and Michigan's a 5 or 6 seed. Would you guys get to play them in the tournament or not?
I don't know. I think that's so early to tell right now as far as looking at rankings, you know, and how, because there's so much that can happen, Ray, between now and the end of the year. We still got a lot of basketball left to play.
Right. Well, one thing before I let you go. Beat the Buckeyes, beat those bullies down there when you go down to Ann Arbor.
My man Ray from Indiana. Ray, thanks for chiming in and listening, man. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
You know, it was also a very emotional field game. I'm not talking about the ending. I'm not talking about Miles Bridges nailing the 3-pointer with 2.7 seconds left to play. But we all know that there's been a lot happening here in East Lansing. We have been following it all from the ESPN report to the Larry Nassar sentencing. And it was just good to see Spartan fans coming together and just really reveling in a win against a really good Purdue team and just kind of just getting away. You know, Saturday's game was kind of an escape. And the win was kind of an escape. But, you know, there was also a lot of emotion in that building because this was the Judd Heathcote tribute game in which the program paid tribute to really the coach that laid the foundation for the current success that we see for Tom Izzo's Spartans. Tom Izzo, of course, was an assistant under Judd Heathcote. When Heathcote decided to leave the program, it was Judd that propelled Izzo to head coach and gave him the vouch of confidence, saying that this is the right guy for this job. And obviously, Judd was right. Judd, of course, passed away not too long ago. And during halftime and throughout the game, we saw many video tributes to Judd Heathcote. But during halftime, we saw many of Judd's former players, including the great Steve Smith, pay tribute to Judd and talk about their time as players for Heathcote. And Steve shared how Judd is the foundation of this program, and even Purdue basketball coaching legend Gene Katy was in the house. Of course, Katy and Judd, great friends, and have a history of their own. And Izzo, again, coming from the Judd Heathcote coaching tree, and Judd being his numero uno mentor, he was very emotional after this win. If you saw the ESPN broadcast, he kind of stared up at the ceiling of the Breslin. Then after that, as his players were coming around to give a shake to the Purdue Boilermakers, showing sportsmanship as just about every college basketball team or every collegiate sport does after it's said and done, we saw Izzo shaking the hands of his players. There was one moment that our cameras actually captured for those that saw the 2-minute drill report on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. All of the visuals were shot by Current Sports intern Karina Garcia. She did a great job, but Karina caught an emotional moment between Tom Izzo and Miles Bridges as Izzo teared up and he cried a bit as he hugged Bridges and I'm sure thanked him for that game-winning shot. But this game meant a lot to Tom Izzo. And here is Izzo speaking on how badly he wanted to win this game for his late mentor.
Special. You know, because of Judd, I got to live a different life than most of my family. You know, I got to do things that, you know, my parents or my cousins or my sisters and never got to do, and they got to do some of them thanks to Judd too. He helped them too. But you know, I was thinking to myself what I said the other day, that Judd last parting shot, it's up there in the video, was, how do you want to be known? And he said, I want to be known as a guy that did it the right way, a guy that cared about his players. And I was thinking to myself, how well said. And probably a lot of us could learn from that. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I got a chance to meet with his wife and Don Munson and Gene and some of those people before the game. And, you know, I know it wouldn't have mattered to them. But the crowd, you know, I heard halftime was great. I'll get to watch it on video. But hell yeah, I wanted to win it for him. I mean, that was his kind of game. He might as well just remove Matt and I and put Gene and Judd in there, you know, and have Clem Haskins scout, and then we could have really had a war in like an old Big Ten times. But, yeah, you know, I wanted to win it, and I think it was won in the right way. And if I was Matt, there's such a thing of losing it in the right way. It was a fist fight. It was a war. But his team, remember I said this to you, that team's a Final Four team. I don't want to put any pressure on them.
I think it is too, Tom. And to get a win over a team with that much talent really speaks volumes to, and I noted this in my 2-minute drill report, you know, from boys to men. I think Michigan State grew up a little bit on Saturday. I mean, we're talking about a Michigan State team that starts 4 sophomores, 1 freshman. Purdue, 4 seniors, 1 sophomore. Purdue is going to make a lot of noise as we roll along here in the college basketball year. Let's hit our final break. And when we come back, we will have Reflection Friday for you. And I also want to play a piece that I've been meaning to get to for quite some time. As our very own Kevin Lavery spoke with Frank Fitzpatrick, a sports reporter and staff writer with the Philadelphia Inquirer, and picked the brain of Fitzpatrick as it pertains to what we're seeing here at Michigan State University in comparison to what happened at Penn State. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I just want to say this. It's blowing my mind. I'm on Facebook right now, and I'm kind of going back and forth with my frat brother, Ade, who is such a he's a LeBron James lover, and he is buying into after just it amazes me again. I've said this so many times. It amazes me just how reactionary we are in the sports world. The Cavs played one game with this newly minted team. Yeah, sure, they smashed the Boston Celtics yesterday, but it's one game, for goodness sake, and people are going insane. Like, the Cavaliers are going to go to the NBA Finals and win the whole thing. Are we serious right now? This is an NBA year in which 82 games are played. Just a few days ago, the Cavaliers looked so suspect in so many areas, and now you blow out the Boston Celtics, who are reeling, by the way. They haven't been playing great basketball as of late, but you blow out the Boston Celtics in one game with this new team, and we want to crown them. Oh, boy. Moving on. I want to get to this story because I think it's an important one, and we've been pushing it off for far too long, and I actually want to start tomorrow's Current Sports with a postscript on it. The Larry Nassar case and subsequent resignation of MSU President Luana K. Simon are really drawing a lot of comparisons to another high-profile university scandal. In 2012, Penn State University assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky was convicted on 45 felony accounts of sexual child abuse. The case led to resignation of former Penn State president Graham Spaner. Now the NCAA is now, of course, investigating MSU, just as it did with Penn State. WKAR's Kevin Lavery spoke with Frank Fitzpatrick, a sports reporter and staff writer with the Philly Inquirer. Fitzpatrick recounts what happened at Penn State when the Sandusky case broke.
For WKAR News, I'm Kevin Lavery. The Larry Nassar case and the subsequent resignation of Michigan State University President Luana Simon are drawing some comparisons to another high-profile university scandal. In 2012, Penn State University assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky was convicted on 45 felony counts of child sexual abuse. The case led to the resignation of former Penn State President Graham Spaner. Now the NCAA is investigating MSU, just as it did with Penn State. I spoke with Frank Fitzpatrick, a sports reporter and staff writer with the Philadelphia Inquirer. He recounts what happened at Penn State when the Sandusky case broke.
Well, once the shock wore off, I think you saw two different reactions. You know, among the administration and much of the faculty there, you initially saw this desire to want to get past this thing as quickly as possible. And yet among the alumni, you know, a much larger group, they got their backs up almost immediately and decided to defend Penn State no matter what. So right away you had these two factions developing, and it led to some pretty ugly, name-calling and a lot of vitriol. But gradually things settled down, although I wouldn't say they're anywhere near what they were before 2011, even today.
Was the perception of the whole affair that the damage was pretty much confined to the football program, or did it really reach a larger dimension and people saw this as Penn State and all of its officials accountable?
Well, it depends on who you're talking to. I mean, within the Penn State community, I think it certainly was confined to football, and there was a group fighting to make the argument that football wasn't even involved. But you go beyond the borders of Penn State, the perception is that this is a school that's forever tainted by this Sandusky scandal. It's a narrative that was set up almost immediately, that Penn State somehow knew and kind of enabled Sandusky to abuse these children. Whether that's true or not, I don't think we'll ever find out, but that's certainly how the public beyond Penn State views the situation.
Are you seeing parallels between the Penn State story and the events that have unfolded here at Michigan State University? Maybe you see Michigan State going down the same road as Penn State.
Yeah, well, of course there are parallels. I mean, it's the same crime. It's got sports as its sort of underpinnings. But I think there are differences as well. I think Penn Staters would argue that most of the crimes that Sandusky was accused of committing, or at least the ones they know about, happened when he was technically no longer affiliated with the university. He had access to the university, but technically he was retired working with another institution. So in that sense, I think there's a difference between Dr. Nassar and Jerry Sandusky, certainly not in the evil of what they perpetrated. And another thing that maybe magnifies the Michigan State incident a little more is the fact that we've seen the faces of these people that were abused, which is something that hasn't happened in the Penn State case. The only time we've seen them is at the trial, and that was closed, and there were no cameras allowed. So the overwhelming majority of people have never seen any of Sandusky's victims, whereas Dr. Nassar's victims, you know, we've been watching them on national TV for more than a week now.
Did Penn State really take some substantial measures to correct the ship in the aftermath of all this? Did they put in some solid policies and procedures that made the university, again, attractive to students, athletes, faculty, staff, to repair that brand? And not just to repair the brand, but did they learn the lesson of putting people over the brand?
Well, I think certainly they did. I mean, they instituted these rigorous policies in athletics, not only when it comes to hiring, but when it comes to background checks, when it comes to reporting.
So again, we just wanted to play a snippet of that. That's our very own Kevin Lavery speaking with Frank Fitzpatrick, a sports reporter and staff writer with the Philly Inquirer, as it pertains to what we're seeing here at Michigan State and the scandal here at the university and the Jerry Sandusky scandal. I have some comments on that on tomorrow's Current Sports, but until then, we will see ya. Same time, same place, folks. I'm Al Martin reminding you to be easy, people.